Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, we're going to talk about literally every free agent signing that has happened so far, even though they haven't officially happened, but there's a lot of them. So we're just going to get right into it. We got a lot of things to cover, plus two interviews with a couple of potential NFL draft choices. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this a lot more news than I expected on a Thursday podcast edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Pod Vader, and clearly I'm getting old because for some reason I thought that all the free agency news wasn't going to come out until after 4 o'clock today. And boy, was I wrong. So we do have a lot of free agency stuff that we're going to get through during the course of today's show, and I do want to try to get through all of it. So we're going to be going through it as quickly as possible because we also have two fantastic interviews with a couple of draft prospects. Tarish Webb, formerly of Pitt, will be joining us, and also Jordan Bowman, who is from a D2 school in Pennsylvania. Will also be joining us, and we're going to talk to those two guys about where they're at in their football journey and sort of where they're heading to next. So we have a lot of good stuff planned for you today. Before we jump into all of that stuff, let me introduce you to the superfans who are joining me on today's show. And it's a Thursday, and that means I have Greg, our Steelers superfan. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Jay. How's it going? Happy free agency here.
Exactly. And let's head over to the prison zones in New York. We'll start with Kevin, our Cowboys superfan in prison zone 6. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone today? Surprisingly, I'm coping with Romo's impending release well, just because I've known it was coming for the last 5 months. But yeah, I'm okay over here, just in case you're wondering.
We'll jump into that in a few moments. In prison zone 1 in New York, it is our Dolphin superfan, Andy. Hello, Andy.
How are we all? I am quite well, in case you're wondering. Not as well as Kenny Stills, of course, who just got paid $20 million guaranteed for 42 receptions, but I guess we can get into that a little bit later as well.
Yeah, that's what we call what not getting better looks like, Cleveland. Speaking of not getting better, I'm going to be trolling you all season long, Rob. I'm so sorry. He's our Buffalo Bills superfan. Now I have to ask, do you miss Chris Hogan and Stephon Gilmore?
I miss Chris Hogan. The jury's out on Gilmore, although I am going to miss him. I don't know if I'm going to miss him at $14 million a year. Happy Christmas shopping for the NFL to everyone. And just know that if you need a fullback, you got to go through Buffalo to get one, since we apparently have two.
So there you go. A little taste of what you have to look forward to in terms of free agency. If you want to reach out to us, please do so via email, nextfanup@gmail.com. And you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, we're always looking for conversations on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. That's where all of our podcasts are posted, and you can talk to us in any of those three manners. We love to talk with our guests and our listeners. Also, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher, any of the great places that you can get podcasts, please do so. We would love to read those reviews here on the podcast. And of course, by subscribing to the show on any of those channels, you won't miss any of our shows. So where we're going to talk a lot about free agency today, there's going to be a lot more free agency that's happening over the next few days. And you're going to want to catch up with us again on our Sunday podcast, because we'll talk about more of the signings that we won't talk about here today. And I'm going to go all the way back to Saturday, March 4th, because I did say I wanted to try and touch on all of the signings. Jeremy Curley ended up signing a deal with the San Francisco 49ers. It was a cheap deal in terms of some of the wide receiver deals that we're seeing going on right now. Again, I'm just mentioning it because it's news, not necessarily because the 49ers got better by signing Jeremy Curley. Will Golston signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's fantastic. James Devlin, speaking of fullbacks, Robert, stays with New England on a 2-year deal. Jermaine Gresham ends up staying in Arizona. Wait, did he stay in Arizona or did he end up leaving? I'm always
mixed up. No, he stayed in Arizona. He signed a 4-year extension for God knows what reason, Arizona.
a couple of other guys sticking around. Tight end Jack Doyle sticks with the Colts. But let's stop right there because New England makes a trade for an Indianapolis Colts tight end. And that tight end was Dwayne Allen. Now, here's the problem that I foresee. I love the fact that he comes in and he replaces Martellus Bennett. That's sort of the one-to-one comparison that I can make there in terms of the trade. What I don't like is the fact that he's just as injury-prone as Rob Gronkowski. So if both of those guys go down, which there's a good likelihood that both of them will, there's no one behind either of those two. And do I really want to see the Patriots using one of their high draft picks for one of these really good looking tight ends that we saw just recently work out at the combine? I don't like it at all. I really don't like it that much. Andy, what are your thoughts here? Because you are a division rival.
I mean, my thoughts are certainly multi-pronged. Number one, this is really a spitting image of the type of move that the Patriots make that just generally works out for them. I don't really care what Dwayne Allen's injury history is. The fact that he's putting on that Patriots uniform, he's probably going to be healthy and catch 50 balls for 700 yards and 7 touchdowns in a part-time role. That's just kind of the way things go up there. Having said that, you know, you mentioned the trade is kind of like an apples-to-apples comp of the Bennett trade a year ago at this time. Martellus Bennett is, you know, a discernibly, tangibly better football player than Dwayne Allen. I don't think there's any disputing that. So, you know, they are going to take a slight step back from that perspective. But, yeah, I mean, as usual, everything comes up Patriots. And for all of his flaws as a drafter, of which he has many, I don't think there's a better veteran talent evaluator than Bill Belichick in terms of eyeballing guys who have already been in the league for 3 to 6 years and determining, okay, do they or do they not fit? What do I want to give up for them? How can I implement them seamlessly? There's no one better than that at that than Belichick.
That might be true, but as I sort of alluded to earlier when introducing Rob, the Patriots, in an unpatriotic way, go out and make a big splash on day one, and apparently they are going to sign Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback from the Buffalo Bills. Now, Rob, we've talked about Stephon Gilmore a couple of times. I feel like we talked about him just last week. But my concerns about Gilmore is he is a very up and down player. He's very boom or bust.
Yeah, I think he's a really good cornerback. I think he looked best a couple years ago. I don't think he looked as good in the Rex Ryan scheme. And I think that had a lot to do with them kind of having so many chefs in the kitchen that it seemed like they were doing different things each week, you know, each week. And it was probably quite a confusing matter because it seemed like he would get beat over the top in the middle of the year quite frequently. And I think that it was probably more so of a communication issue. I don't think he should get paid like a top five cornerback, but that's just, you know, the way salary cap is going up. You know, it is what it is. You know, $14 million, I think, is a lot of money for him. The only thing I'd say, I think he's a really strong player. The only thing I would say is, I touched on this earlier, he's got a little bit of Brandon Browner in him. You're going to see some long pass interference calls against him, a couple, and some of them are going to happen at bad spots.
Yeah, that's my fear. Now, I only have that fear because if he was standing on the other side of the field opposite Malcolm Butler, I'd be kind of okay with that. But now the rumors are that Bill Belichick really wants Brandon Cooks from New Orleans and is willing to offer up Malcolm Butler in return. I would rather have Malcolm Butler than Stephon Gilmore. I would probably want Gilmore. Well, actually, it's not even probably. I would want Gilmore over Logan Ryan. But Patrick our Patriot superfan mentions he would rather have AJ Bouye than Stephon Gilmore. That I'm not too sure about. AJ Bouye still available on the market. Any of you guys, well, I mean, Robert, since I'm still talking with you, and you do now have a need at the cornerback spot, AJ Bouye interest you? I'm sure you don't have the money for him.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you follow the Bills or not, but they got a lot of needs, and our GM is kind of terrible, so we don't have a lot of money. so, yeah, it'd be great to get someone like that, but there's just no way.
How about you, Andy? I don't know if cornerback's necessarily a need for the Dolphins, but AJ Bouye would boost your secondary, perhaps.
I mean, I'd love it. First of all, AJ Bouye, hopefully he's not a one-hit wonder, but he's really only been good last year. I'm pretty sure he's an undrafted free agent otherwise.
Yep.
Not that that's a problem. I mean, Brent Grimes is an undrafted free agent, and he's had, you know, 6 or 7 very good NFL seasons at this point. Now, as far as how he fits with the Dolphins' number, Dolphins' top 3 corners right now are, in this order, Byron Maxwell, Tony Lippett, and then Xavien Howard. I think all 3 of those guys are adequate. I don't think any of those 3 guys are very good. So cornerback is not as pressing a need as other positions, most namely linebacker and guard, but we could always use another corner. I think Logan Ryan's a little more fascinating to me just because he'll be cheaper, to be honest. I mean, AJ Bouye is going to be an 8-figure-a-year contract, and we just can't shell that out.
Greg, you had mentioned before we started recording that the Steelers perhaps are in the Logan Ryan market. Would you prefer Logan Ryan or AJ Bouye?
I'm going to prefer whoever's going to take the least money. So I think the Steelers have about $5, $6 million to spend on external free agent this offseason. So, you know, I see Logan Ryan getting a lower price tag, and I think that's why they're in on them. And also some of the rumor moves they're making in New England, maybe no competition for him. So I'm just leaning towards Ryan that way. And I also like, you know, I think he's played in 2 Super Bowls, right? And I like that as an added tiebreaker.
So really the biggest, well, I don't know if it was the biggest, but perhaps the largest name that has switched teams the earliest is Brandon Marshall, who went from the New York Jets and has signed with the New York Giants. And for that, I have our Giants superfan Sam here on the line to talk to me about it. So Sam wasn't able to join us for the full-on podcast with all the superfans, but I do have him here with me right now so that we can briefly discuss the moves of the Giants, because they were the team that, I mean, Brandon Marshall was pretty much the first free agent to go down this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was the first one I saw.
So correct me if I'm wrong, though, Sam, because I'm just going to start here right off the bat with you. Don't you guys need a running back?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I just don't think, I think this Brandon Marshall signing happened, and I kind of looked at it, saw it was for 2 years, saw it was for combined, what is it, $12 million, and I kind of just felt like, okay, you know, this is a fine move. This seems like the kind of move that happens once the first wave of free agency ends and there's that player that was expecting more money and he's just waiting around, then you kind of steal him for a little bit. So I like the move. It doesn't solve any of the problems that I thought we had going into the offseason, but I don't think it'll hurt the team. I think I like Christian McCaffrey in the first round. I think he might drop to the Giants. I like Fournette if he's dropping like a rock in the draft. But I don't know. Running back's a weird position. I don't know if you have to address it in free agency or the draft. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's kind of like a move that doesn't really solve any problems, but makes our offense a little better.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the way that I would look at it. It doesn't necessarily answer any questions, but does make your offense a little better. Brandon Marshall is definitely one of the top wide receivers. I don't know if we could call him elite still, but he's definitely on the top side of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, he may not be an elite number one, but I still think as a number two, he'll be elite. When you look at the wide receivers now, they have 3 legit options. They have Brandon Marshall on the outside. They have Odell doing whatever Odell does, and they have Sterling Shepard. So it kind of becomes harder to defend that threesome. You got to have the right corners. You have to have the right scheme, and I think it'll provide Eli another big option that he hasn't had in a while. If you remember Eli with Plaxico, Eli's a master of that back shoulder for a first down. It frees Odell to maybe do more now that they have Brandon Marshall who can pick up first downs. That's what he does. So when it comes down to it, Brandon Marshall's really good for about 18 months, and then things start going off the rails. And I think the Giants did the smart thing, putting him on for 2 years. Like, he's not going to re-sign, and I know towards the end of next year, if things aren't going well, it's going to be bad. But this first year, he's going to deliver, and I think we all know that, and he's been saying the right things. He came out yesterday and said he's the number two, and, like, you know, it was nice to see, saying all the right things. So can't hate the move right now. They cut Cruz. They signed him for half of what Cruz would have made. He's going to be twice the player Cruz would have been. So when you look at the value, I think it's a good deal.
Do you still have enough money to get a running back? And I'm specifically referencing Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I think what do they have? They have about like $14 million left in cap space, I think, is what I saw. I want that all to go towards the offensive line. No. I think Paul Perkins and Shane Vereen can be fine if the offensive line is better, and with Marshall giving him a little more space. How good do teams really run the ball these days? I don't think you really need it to be a super successful team, and I think there's a couple of players in the draft in the first and second round, so I think somewhere down the road you can take a running back. I don't think you need to spend an age. I just don't see it. We're not going to be a power running team. We want three wide receivers on the field at all times. You know, Adrian Peterson runs with fullback. You want a big tight end. It kind of defeats the whole purpose. So, I mean, the one thing maybe the Brandon Marshall signing is best at is maybe hinting that they're not going to go after Adrian Peterson. So we don't have to worry about that.
I still think if you put Adrian Peterson on that offense, now you're talking about a whole different offense than we were before.
I mean, can Adrian Peterson run without a fullback in front of him, and can't he run anymore? He's not been healthy. I don't really love. I mean, you know, if you tell me you can have Adrian Peterson or you can't have him, obviously they're a better team with him. I just think if signing him costs us a chance at signing, you know, one of the better linemen that are out there in free agency, I think it's a bad move. I think our defense is solid. I think we have receivers. I think just give Eli some time to throw, and, you know, there's a lot of talent in this year's draft. This way they don't reach for a lineman, because it's a weak lineman draft. So, you know, signing a lineman kind of would ease all my fears of the Giants reaching for an Ereck Flowers type player or signing Adrian Peterson. So, you know, I'm looking towards Riley Reiff or TJ Lang. I don't even care if they don't fit scheme, and I don't care if the Giants don't have any interest in signing them. It's still who I want to see them signing, just because I think they just need skill on that line. It's a line devoid of any skill right now. So,
which lineman are you? Do you have your eyes on?
I mean, I just have my eyes on the best ones. I don't think I haven't seen any news linking the Giants to TJ Lang or Riley Reiff. I'd like either of those two. I'm interested in Ron O'Leary. His pass blocking is a little shaky, so it might not be great, but I still think he's an upgrade on what the Giants have. So really, really give me any of them. I don't even mind overpaying by a million or two a year, because I just think we need that. That's a position we need really badly.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Good luck to you, and hopefully I don't see your team in the Super Bowl next year against mine.
Yeah, we're the only ones that can do the job.
So there goes Sam, and as I brought up with him, and I will talk to you, Kevin, since you're a division rival, Brandon Marshall does make that offense a little bit better, but at the end of the day, they still don't have a running back.
You're 100% right on that. They do not have a running back, which as a Cowboys fan makes me smile, but I would be lying to you if Brandon Marshall signing did not concern me as a Cowboys fan, because it is very much concerning. The thought of Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham on opposite sides of the field, it can be troublesome, especially since the Cowboys have numerous free agents in the secondary. We've already lost Barry Church to the Jaguars. J.J. Wilcox looks like he's on his way out to the Bucks. Brandon Carr and Morris Claiborne are free agents. Doubt we're going to re-sign both of them. So adding an elite pass catcher like Marshall is, of course, looks good on paper. And it was 2 years, $12 million, I believe. So it was very affordable for the Giants. I think it was a great signing for them, as much as I hate to admit it. I mean, Victor Cruz was washed up. He's such a big upgrade over Victor Cruz. And now Sterling Shepard's going to be in the slot. That is a very dangerous wide receiver core. And if Eli Manning can put together a competent season, which he hasn't done the last 2 years, he's looked most of the times lost in that offense with McAdoo. I mean, they just didn't look very good for the last 10 games in 2016. They just out of sync and everything. So it really all rests on Eli. If Eli can go back to 2012, 2013 Eli, then the Giants are going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if he continues his play of the last year, the Giants are going to be 9-7, 10-6 again. But Brandon Marshall is a scary man, and I was also hearing, I don't know if we're going to get into this, that Brandon Williams, the nose tackle for the Ravens, might also be interested in the Giants, which would also be devastating news. So the Giants are scaring me right now, and I hope to God that on paper doesn't translate to the field, because if it does, Cowboys are in trouble.
Well, as Sam said, the Giants' biggest needs right now are to fix that offensive line, and with the depth of running back in the upcoming draft, perhaps they address it there. They don't necessarily need to go after an Adrian Peterson, although I still say Adrian Peterson makes that Giants offense a much different offense. We're talking about a much different Giants team with Adrian Peterson in the backfield and Brandon Marshall as a number two than we are with a rookie running back. Any of the rookie running backs in the Giants.
Giants like Paul Perkins. He showed a little bit of a spark the last few weeks of the season. So I think he can be not a full-time starter, but I think he can be very good in a complementary role. So I think you're right. The Giants definitely need to add someone, and it doesn't have to be AP. I know the Giants probably won't add Joe Mixon, but if they could get Joe Mixon in the second round or the third round, that would be the move for the Giants, depending if he falls that far based on his off-the-field concerns, obviously, and if the Giants even want to acquire him, which I doubt they do, because they're allegedly an organization of character.
Let's definitely put a bookmark in the Joe Mixon conversation for maybe after we talk to our draft prospects a little bit later on in the show, because I want to come back to that for sure. But let's stay in Dallas. You brought up a bunch of guys. Bryce Butler ends up getting re-signed by the Dallas Cowboys, but you mentioned that probably means Terrence Williams won't be returning, and I know you're a big Terrence Williams fan, but I will also now allow you to cry about Tony Romo's departure from your team.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for Terrence Williams. I mean, I sort of expected going into last season that it was going to be his last year with the Cowboys unless he had a breakout season, which he didn't. And I am a fan of Terrence. I think he plays a solid number two receiver. He's definitely proven he can't be the lead guy, which is why the Cowboys aren't going to re-sign him. So it'll be sad to see him go, but not as sad as Romo, obviously. I was watching a few Romo highlights on YouTube last night, bring tears to my eyes. But I just have a few Romo stats that, of course, I just want to throw out there just because I need to give the man credit, because as we all know, he never gets the credit he deserves. But if the Broncos are smart, they would sign Romo, because in his last 30 starts, he's 21-9 with a 66% completion percentage, 62 touchdowns, and 25 picks. Now, in that same period, Rodgers is 18-12. Matt Ryan is 17-13. Big Ben is also 21-9, but with an identical completion percentage, but less touchdowns and more picks and a lower pass rating. So Romo is just, he still has, if he can stay healthy, which I think he can, he is still a top 6-7 starter in this league, no questions asked. And I pretty much knew Tony was going to leave when he made that little retirement speech from the Cowboys, sort of concession speech, handing the team over to Romo. Pretty much knew then that Romo was going to be gone in the off season. So I've had months to prepare myself for the official news. So it wasn't really that bad. But it's going to be sad to see him go. One of the first memories I have of Romo, I just want to put it out there. I knew he was going to be great after this. His first year as a starter in 2007, if anyone remembers, in week four, the Cowboys were 3-0, playing home against the Rams. Andre Girard, our center, who was a fan of snapping it over Romo's head on a frequent basis, snapped it over his head. The ball ended up 33 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Romo got it, ran 37 yards for a first down. Obviously a small play, but just that, just his creativity, his ability to make anything out of nothing. Oh, that it was on full display right there, and I will never forget that play, really. Romo is by far the best quarterback I've personally seen in a Cowboys uniform that I can remember. I mean, I saw Aikman a little bit, but I was a very young kid then, so I'm not really even counting that. So far better than anyone the Cowboys had after Aikman. So he will be missed, and that's all I can say. He will be sorely, sorely missed.
So just one more point on Romo, and then we're going to move on. I saw this watching the NFL Network this morning from Kay Adams. While we all might think Romo to the Broncos makes a lot of sense, does it make a lot of sense for Romo? You're talking about a Broncos team that still allowed over 40 sacks last season, or you're looking at a Houston Texans team that appears to actually want Romo. Right now, the Broncos don't appear to actually want Tony Romo. They're not going out of their way to say, oh, yes, we want Tony Romo on this team, at least not publicly at this point. The Texans have said, yes, we want Tony Romo to be over here with the number one defense without J.J. Watt and in a division that's a lot easier than the AFC West. We're talking about the AFC South. So is it in Tony Romo's best interest to go to Denver or to go to Houston, which, by the way, is technically just a car ride away from Dallas?
Yeah, technically you're right. He doesn't really have to uproot his family, so that's obviously a plus for him. I mean, I know the Broncos have been linked to acquiring some offensive line help this offseason, which you're right, they definitely desperately need. But overall, I think that just the Broncos have better offensive weapons. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the Texans would also be a great landing spot for Tony, and probably 1B2 to the Broncos. But with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders with Romo, I just think the offensive possibilities are endless. I really do. And as you alluded to earlier, the tight end class is super deep in this upcoming draft. So if the Broncos can acquire a tight end there, Romo will have a lot to work with. And I know the Texans have DeAndre Hopkins, but I don't think their other weapons surrounding him are nearly as good as what the Broncos have. And their defenses are pretty much cancel each other out. I don't think you can say one has a significantly better defense than the other. But the Texans are also a good spot for Romo. So either one will do for me.
All right. The 49ers then added another wide receiver. It's Pierre Garçon, who was linked to the Eagles. James, unfortunately, not with us here today, so he can't comment on missing out on Pierre Garçon going to San Francisco. Cardinals do get Chandler Jones to sign an extension. They had franchised him, so good for the Cardinals. They keep their pass rusher. But, Greg, you want to talk about the first offensive tackle off the board, and that's Rick Wagner, who ends up in Detroit.
Yeah, I think this is a big deal. Signed for what I think has been reported about $9 million a year. And everywhere I've heard, I mean, he's from the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't know who he was until everyone started talking about him becoming a free agent. So even despite the Ravens being known for good offensive line play, this guy's kind of unheard of. He's supposedly just an average right tackle. And I've heard a lot that this is a reflection of where the league is on this offensive line, that an average player is now getting $9 million to start, and he's the highest paid guy at his position. It's kind of interesting, from a lot of aspects. You know, I have Marcus Gilbert on my team that's making about $4 million in salary this year with a $7 million cap hit from one of those early extensions they gave him after his third year in the league. And I just wonder if this Wagner deal for being an average player is going to impact.
All right, so we're having some technical difficulties. It is a windy day here in the Northeast, but just to sort of put a pin on that Ricky Wagner thought, because there are other offensive linemen. Andre Whitworth has signed a deal, according to some sources, and I don't have it readily available for me in front of me because it just happened probably an hour before we started recording. And I do want to sort of get back to that offensive tackle thought. So another bookmark for everyone there. Let's go back to you, Robert, because Tyrod Taylor ends up getting a restructured contract, which you're kind of okay with. But the Bills, as you mentioned, end up signing Patrick DeMarco and Michael Tolbert. And at one point, they were linked to Kyle Juszczyk as well, although Juszczyk ends up going to San Francisco.
Yeah, the money that he got was, for a fullback. And now he's in a league that's become kind of a sub-package league. I mean, he's a great chess piece because he can catch the ball so well. But, you know, he's now being paid. He's going to make the ninth highest paid running back money this year. And in a year to year, he's the 11th highest. So, Bills are out of that. They can't really spend big money. DeMarco was, I think they're paying him 2.1 a year. Pro Football Focus, I believe, had him rated as the number one blocking fullback in the league, which kind of fits the profile of what the Bills are going to do offensively. Obviously, you know, with Shady McCoy, they're going to be running the ball, and that's kind of the where the talent is on the team. The interesting one for me was Mike Tolbert. It was a small deal; it was 1 year, $1 million. I wonder if, just with the tea leaves, if it's not more so as a running back to be kind of the short yardage guy, and maybe insurance in case Mike Gillisley, who's been a really good backup for Buffalo. For whatever reason, they only tendered him at the fifth round. I'm kind of concerned that someone's going to throw a little bit of money at him. To me, it means either that as insurance, or they're just not happy with Jonathan Williams, who was a rookie last year and was kind of the big back guy.
Well, and let's talk a little bit, too, about the Tyrod Taylor deal, because Mike, when we're talking about average players, Greg, you know, Mike Glennon was originally, there were some rumors tying him to Buffalo. He ends up signing a deal with Chicago, which is going to get him paid something like $14 million a year. This just in, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Glennon's not worth $14 million a year. I don't care who wants to go against me on that. He's just not.
Yeah, I think Tyrod is a good quarterback. I think I don't think he's great by any means, obviously, but I think he's a quarterback that you shouldn't feel bad about paying a couple bucks to, especially when you look at where the quarterback market has gone over the past couple of years. I think that his salary, with the restructure, his salary cap number this year is going to be the second smallest out of any starting veteran quarterback in the NFL. And I think he's definitely better than that. So I think it's a value. It works out with the new deal. The Bills save, a couple million this year. Kind of becomes a year-to-year deal with Tyrod just getting a little bit more money, but he's still not being paid. It's not even a market deal, in my opinion. When you look at Glennon, who hasn't started, in a couple years and, had a sack when he did play. Now, granted, that Tampa Bay team, me and Greg kind of chatted about this. They are very flawed offensively, but he was sacked 9% of his snaps out there. And that was, a couple years ago to get, good money like that, 14, 15 million, whatever the number is going to end up being. I'm perfectly happy having Tyrod at the number we got him.
So, Andy, the Dolphins end up signing Andre Branch, the defensive end. So you keep a defensive player. Did Kenny Britt leave your team, or did he leave your team last year?
Kenny Britt was never on the Miami Dolphins. Kenny still has been on the Dolphins.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, there's too many Kennys. All of what, two?
Including the Kenny from South Park.
Exactly. All right, well, talk to me a little bit about what the Dolphins got going on right now.
A lot of coals in the fire for my beloved Dolphins. I mean, so let's just get this out of the way right now. The re-signings of Stills and Branch both make sense at face value, but we just gave them too much money. Now, you know, I struggle to now here's the thing. The Robert Woods all of a sudden getting $39 million makes the Stills contract look a lot better, because Kenny Stills, by most accounts, is probably a better football player than Robert Woods. So I feel a little bit better about that signing now than I did maybe, I don't know, 4 hours ago before the Woods information came out. But still, we gave Kenny Stills, we're giving him $20 million guaranteed. We're paying him $8 million a year, and the guy caught 42 balls last year. I read somewhere that on his 9 touchdown catches, they were all deep balls. All except one against Buffalo was a deep ball. And on his 9 touchdown catches, he amassed 380 receiving yards. He had less than 800 receiving yards on the season. So we basically are paying $8 million a year to a guy who amassed over 50% of his total production on basically 9 plays from scrimmage. If you think about that for a second, you know, that's not what good teams do. It just isn't. So that's kind of my problem with the Stills contract. Again, you know, relative value is it's a dynamic notion. It's not a static notion. And, you know, $8 million, the way these contracts work, the salary cap keeps going up. A contract that looks ridiculous right now won't look as ridiculous, nearly as ridiculous, 9 months from now, 18 months from now. I think the Tannehill contract is a perfect example of that. Everyone was laughing at the Tannehill contract when it was signed 25 at this point months ago. Well, now you wake up and smell the coffee 2 years later. Hey, in $19 million a year for Ryan Tannehill, that's actually not that bad. So hopefully history will review the Stills contract in the same way that it has reviewed the Tannehill contract, but it's an overpay. And as far as Andre Branch is concerned, that's probably an even worse overpay. I mean, I heard somewhere that a general rule of thumb among front offices is when you're paying pass rushers, you never want to pay a pass rusher more millions per year than they will get sacks per year. And we just paid a guy who had 5.5 sacks last year in a limited role $9 million a year with more than half of it guaranteed. I think it's 3 years, $27 million. I think 13 of it is guaranteed. That's just a lot of money for a guy who, you know, let's be honest, was a bust. Andre Branch was a second-round pick in Jacksonville. He did absolutely nothing over the course of his rookie contract. He did so little that we were able to get him off the scrap heap on a one-year prove-it deal, and he parlayed that one-year prove-it deal, as many players do, into a multiple-year commitment. So I like keeping the team together. I like both of them as players. I just don't like how much money we gave them. And as far as other things that the Dolphins are doing, we just tendered Kiko Alonso. We just put a first-round pick tender on him. I think if you gave Mike Tannenbaum a truth serum, he'd probably admit to you that he's rooting for someone to take Kiko and give us a first-round pick. And I'm probably rooting for the same thing. As much as I love the season that he had last year, I just don't trust him staying healthy 2 years in a row. And frankly, he didn't stay healthy last year. He broke his thumb and had to wear a cast, which impacted his already suspect tackling ability. But that's really it. I think we're going to have a lot more clarity on the Dolphins after the draft. But unlike in years past, we're not doing things that are profoundly stupid. You know, throwing $62 million, 40 of it guaranteed at Dante Hightower, that would be stupid. You know, paying Stephon Gilmore.
Wait, time out. I don't know if that would be stupid. I think that would be a good move by the Dolphins. You're going to hurt your division champion and get your team better. Hightower is going to add value.
Overpaying. Here's the thing, though, Pod. Overpaying a division rival to hurt them, that's exactly the type of rationale that Buffalo used when they gave Charles Clay $45 million. They were like, oh, yeah, Charles Clay is kind of good.
and we're hurting the Dolphins by getting him. Let's just overpay for him. I just use Dante Hightower as just an example of a big ticket free agent, whether it's Hightower, whether it's Bouye, whether it's Gilmore. I mean, the point remains, the day and age of the Dolphins making these splashy signing, the Sue signing, the Wallace signing, the Ellerbe signing, those days are over. Tannenbaum has clearly become a lot more sensible, and I think that's a good thing. I'm very excited to see how we draft, to be honest. I am perfectly okay, especially now that we re-signed Stills, especially now that he's back, I am perfectly okay not taking a single offensive player in the first five rounds. I'm totally okay with that. That's kind of the direction that I hope they go. We'll see, though.
Mm. The only part that I would disagree with you, well, I agree with the comparison to the Buffalo Bills and the Charles Clay signing. Sorry, Rob. Dante Hightower is going to make your team better, where Clay didn't necessarily make the Buffalo Bills better. So that would be my only disagreement with you on that. But I see where your point is. And then to sort of go back to the what are we paying average players and who would you rather, Greg, Brian Hoyer ends up signing a deal with San Francisco. Now, he's the only quarterback that San Francisco has on their roster at the present time. So it's not that big a deal. But would I rather have Brian Hoyer or Mike Glennon? I'd rather have Brian Hoyer.
I agree. But, you know, Mike Glennon is, what, 4 years younger? So, and, yeah, it's just a lot different. Get two different coaching staffs. I understand why Brian Hoyer is preferred in San Francisco. And I agree with that. I mean, he's getting back with his old offensive coordinator there. That's great. But Mike Glennon, I mean, he's a big guy. He's younger. I liked what I saw of him when he played in Tampa. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I'm a big Mike Glennon fan. I hate the $14 million number, but thanks, Philadelphia.
You know, we're going to go back to you now, Kevin, because Jacksonville has made a couple of deals, and one of them was stealing your safety, Barry Church, away.
Yeah, that was to be expected. I sort of heard about that last night, that they were finalizing a deal. So that definitely is going to hurt the Cowboys. Church, I mean, he's not the best safety in coverage, but he's a great tackler. He's great in run support, and he was – along with Sean Lee, really the heart and soul of the Cowboys defense. So he's definitely going to be hard to replace. but it's also official now, I believe, that Ronald Leary just signed with the Broncos, I believe. So the Cowboys are going to be down that offense lineman. But fortunately, we have Lael Collins, who was hurt pretty much for the majority of last year. And he should theoretically just slip right in Leary's spot, and we shouldn't skip a beat. But more importantly, I think Ronald Leary's Denver Bronco going to the Broncos is huge for Denver. Ronald Leary is an above-average offensive guard, and I'm not just saying that because I'm biased toward him because he's a Cowboy. A lot of people probably don't give him the credit he deserves just because he played between Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith, but Ronald Leary is a very good football player. He's super athletic, strong, only 27 years old, so he's still in the prime of his career. I think it was a great signing by Denver. And if they want Romo, Romo's familiar with him because he's played behind Leary quite a few times. So that's an interesting signing by Denver. And Barry Church, yeah, I wish him the best of luck in Jacksonville. I just hope the Cowboys can plug up some of these holes in the secondary we are finding ourselves in now, because Wilcox is probably going to leave too. He's a backup safety. So now we have Byron Jones and Jeff Heath there, and I don't feel comfortable leaving Jesse as a starter, and I don't think the Cowboys do either. So we're going to need to find some players in the secondary, whether it be in the draft or free agency. I would like to sign at least a veteran presence in the secondary before the draft, just so we don't need to overreach in the draft or something. But the Cowboys, much like the Dolphins,
they aren't going to be very active in free agency. The last few years, they've been quiet, re-signed some of their low-key players, but they're not going to make a splashy move. I just hope that they make sensible moves and they re-sign people that need to be re-signed, such as Brandon Carr now. And I'm hoping for a sort of big splash, a semi cannonball. I don't think it's going to happen, but the next 2-3 weeks are going to scare me because I just feel the Cowboys are about to lose a lot of pieces.
Well, sticking with Jacksonville, they also apparently are going to be signing Calais Campbell to add to that defensive line that they made much improvements on last season. And I just want to say right now, the heart wants what the heart wants. So Jacksonville, how you doing? Huh?
If Jacksonville isn't good this year, I'm just, they need to be relegated to a different league. It's just ridiculous.
I really like Jacksonville. I like what they're doing. I think they're on the up. They had a disappointing year last year for sure, but you're right. If they can't get it done this year, then man, I gotta move out on Jacksonville. But I think I'm going to. I think my boyfriends are going to be located in Jacksonville this year. Yep. San Francisco also signed Marcus Goodwin. So San Francisco making wholesale changes to their offense. We already talked about Kenny Stills. Tony Jefferson expected to end up signing with the Baltimore Ravens, who also re-signed their backup, Ryan Mallett. Good luck with that. And I think I just saw something over here in our chat about the Baltimore Ravens. They're interested in Morris Claiborne. Ravens looking to make some moves here, Robert.
They also added a former Patriot to their squad, Woodhead, 5 months off the ACL. He's going to come in. It looks like kind of fill the pass catching role of Jerzyk, whatever his last name is. Yeah, thank you. I come from a Polish community. I should know it. It looks like he's going to end up in Baltimore, which means that Kenneth Dixon is going to be the lead back there, it looks like.
I'll add that I was asking Don, our Ravens super fan, about the secondary, and he thinks cornerback is the bigger need over safety, and he was a little surprised they went after Tony Jefferson. So Claiborne probably has some real feet there.
Buffalo gets a new kicker and Steve Hoshka, but Rob, you weren't too thrilled about Steve Hoshka.
It's fine. The only thing I don't get is you release your kicker, Carpenter, who was pretty good on field goals, but hot garbage on point after touchdowns. And you end up signing for more money a kicker who has a higher field goal percentage, but missed more point after touchdowns. So it just seems like they're very similar guys, but now we released him, took a $500, dead cat money, and then we're paying even more money to Hoshka. I think it's $3.1 million versus the about $2 million that Carpenter was getting. So kind of weird, but whatever.
Matt Khalil will join his brother Ryan Khalil as offensive lineman in Carolina. Packers will re-sign Nick Perry outside linebacker. And now we get into some of the more big names that happened today. DeSean Jackson will be leaving for Tampa Bay. This is a devastating blow to our good friend Neil's Washington Redskins, as they now have lost both their starting wide receivers. But is it a good move for Tampa Bay? Is DeSean Jackson a guy that will make a difference for Jameis Winston and the youngins down in Tampa?
I think so. I'm actually, as someone who, Tampa is usually the local TV game where I am, I'm excited to kind of, watch those games on a regular basis. I think that you got, Evans on the other side. It's going to be tough to really sit and double him hard all the time. When you have someone who could, you know, pop the top off like DeSean Jackson on the other side, I think it's going to be is going to make for a real interesting offense. I'm excited to see how it goes with them.
And I'll add, I saw a stat that the Bucs last year were the only team in the league without a 50-yard play from scrimmage. And so check that box with DeSean.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams are adding left tackle Andrew Whitworth. And this was a deal that you've got your eyes on here, Greg.
Yeah, I think it's a great deal for the Rams. I mean, $12 million for a left tackle that is as good as Whitworth after seeing what Wagner got. Great deal.
As Andy mentioned earlier, Kenny Britt, the other Kenny that I mixed up for Kenny Stills, ends up joining the Cleveland Browns. It's a 4-year deal with $17 million in guarantees. And as I said at the top of the show, this is what not getting better looks like. Kenny Britt is not the wide receiver that is going to bring a championship or even playoffs to Cleveland. I don't know why Cleveland would overpay for a guy like Kenny Britt. He's just not, of all the wide receiver options that were available out there, he's not the one that's going to make your team better. Does anyone want to disagree with me on that?
Well, no, I don't want to disagree with you. I agree with you. I don't know like what they're doing last year. They draft, how many receivers did Cleveland draft last year? Four?
Five.
Yeah. So you got all these young kids and you want them to be now, they're de facto going to be mentored by this guy who's known for being a bad culture guy. It's silly. Like if, you know, one, how much more money does it cost to, you know, keep a prior in Cleveland, you know, from $8 million. It can't be that much more. It's, you know, I can't imagine Pryor is going to get a $12 million a year deal or anything like that. And two, you know, you have to be thinking about at least a little bit, you know, the influence of all these young 20, 21, 22, 23 year olds that are your entire depth chart. I would have brought in, you know, I would have either gave that money to Pryor and maybe a little bit more. It's not like the Browns don't have $100 million to spend on free agents this year. Or I would have brought in someone who is a little bit more veteran that could do just as good of a job. You wouldn't have to pay that much. I don't know why you would in the first place. And, you know, would be a better culture guy in the wide receivers room for meetings with all those rookies.
Maybe a Ted Ginn Jr. might have been a better fit there in Cleveland. Not necessarily a number one guy, but maybe a veteran presence. He ends up signing in New Orleans, though, so they couldn't get him. Robert Woods, also not a guy that I would have endorsed to go to Cleveland. He ends up signing a big deal in L.A. with the Rams, a 5-year, $39 million deal with $15 million guaranteed. Torrey Smith ends up in Philadelphia, a 3-year deal for $15 million. So that's some of the wide receivers making moves today. And did I talk about this when we talked about Stephon Gilmore? I don't think I did because I don't remember going on a rant. So I'll go on it right now. I did mention this briefly. So thoughts are, rumors are out there that the Patriots might be trading Malcolm Butler to the New Orleans Saints for Brandon Cooks. Here's the deal. I like Malcolm Butler way more than I like Stephon Gilmore. And that's not just because Malcolm Butler is the guy that's on my team, but also because I think Malcolm Butler's a better corner than Stephon Gilmore. He's a little less inconsistent than Stephon Gilmore. The Patriots had a period from 2008 to 2014 where their cornerbacks were horrible. Now, putting it into the prism of the New England Patriots fan, we've made the playoffs in all of those years. We won the division in all of those years, except for one when Brady tore his ACL. But they don't need Brandon Cooks. He's not going to add anything to that Patriots offense that they don't already have in other players. And by trading away Malcolm Butler, you lose all the depth that you currently have if you keep him. If it's Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore, you now have depth in your secondary. By trading away Malcolm Butler, you hurt that depth, and you're not going to get back to the Super Bowl and win another one. I think that's just ridiculous. But at the end of the day, I guess all I have to say is in Bill Belichick, we trust, because I don't have anything else to go on other than that. Speaking of the Eagles, they released defensive end Connor Barwin, which was expected. And I thought I saw something else here from the Eagles. No, I didn't. Aaron Murray is going to the Los Angeles Rams. Who cares? All right. So I think that's it about free agency. Anybody else have any free agency? Did I miss anybody?
Well, you have the huge news that Vince Young signed with the Rough Riders. So.
Oh, well, I mean, that's humongous, of course. All right. That's free agency. Hey, we nailed free agency in 55 minutes worth of content. So now let's move on to the NFL draft. I had the pleasure of speaking with two young safeties that are going to be making their move into the professional ranks. And let's talk with them right now. All right, it's my pleasure now to be joined by one of two prospects we'll be talking to on today's podcast. This guy played in Division I at a big-time school. He was a defensive back at Pitt. His name is Tarish Webb. Hello, Tarish. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. On yourself?
I am doing A-OK. It sounds like you're out having a good time right now.
Yeah, I'm actually out right now. I'm just eating some food with my mom.
Nice. What you got? Where are you at?
I had a chicken Alfredo, and she's just over there eating some chicken and biscuits.
That sounds good. That sounds really good, especially for lunch. How many calories a day do you think you eat right about now?
I'm not really sure. Probably like 3,000, 4,000.
That is incredible. I'm currently on a diet trying to lose weight. So if I ate 3,000 or 4,000 calories right now, I would be a big fat blob.
Well, I'm the opposite. I'm trying to put on some weight.
Oh, there you go. But you want to put on the good weight. So like, you know, Hostess Snacks, which is a popular topic on this podcast, you wouldn't be eating any of those right now.
Nah, not at all. Cutting.
Excellent. Well, Tarish, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. And as you're going through your journey now, moving on to a pro career, what have been some of the surprises for you during this process right now?
Just how much work it takes, and just the little things, basically like with training and working out over the drills, and basically just like slowing down each drill, how much of a technique it is to perform those drills at such a high level.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as it becomes your full-time job, it's one of those things where you got to get it down pretty much ASAP, or that next guy up is going to take your job.
Definitely, definitely. So you just always got to prepare yourself to be ready at any time.
You know, I read in a couple of different interviews, you feel like your biggest strength is sort of your football IQ and your ability to pick up things quick. So I want to talk a little bit about that and sort of how you're applying that to exactly what you were talking about, some of the struggles that you're having in getting down these techniques.
Yeah, because, you know, like at the combine, they'll do like certain drills, which you wouldn't usually do throughout your like college career. So I'm just working the craft, and I have an excellent trainer who's helping me perform and get better each week. So he'll slow it down for me to just make sure I can perform that thing at a high level.
Are you going to be performing at Pro Day?
Yes, our Pro Day is March 22nd.
Nice. What are you hoping to show off to the scouts at your Pro Day?
Just my athleticism and my speed.
Nice. Do you think now, what is your speed? That's sort of the big question. You know, you get sort of a track speed, but I mean, do you think that's actually commensurate with what you show on the football field?
Yes, because when you're a safety, your speed pen doesn't show that much because you're playing a little off. So you don't get a chance to just show the scouts your speed, how fast you are. So I want to surprise the scouts actually with that 40 when I run it.
I saw you like to resemble yourself to Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Do you have a cool nickname to go along with? Since his name is actually Ha Ha, do you have a cool nickname to go along with it?
No, it's not that cool. They just call me T Web down at school.
T Web.
It's not cool as Ha Ha. Yeah.
It's not. I have to admit, it's not as cool as Ha Ha. But T Web is all right. I mean, hey, it's nice and simple and to the point. You know, as you also mentioned, that the toughest player you ever faced in your college career was Will Fuller. Now, you want to talk about speed. That guy is pretty fast.
Yeah, definitely. You know, even watching film, you sort of see his speed. But when you're actually out there watching him, it's a whole other level.
What do you watch for when you're watching film?
I try to, create a tendency with the receivers doing and what the offensive guys are doing. And, down and distance. You know, it's a lot of things that go into it.
Put us, take us on the field and sort of bring us, you know, whistle to whistle. So the play is dead and the officials are marking the football. What's going on as you're getting ready for the next snap?
First, I'll look over at the defensive guys because they call the play. So I'll look over there and I'll try to get the play. And then next, I want to see what the offense comes out in, what personnel grouping, and I'll look to where the receivers are lined up, like inside the hash or outside the hash. They're basically like their depth in the backfield. All of that before the play even gets started.
You know, I noticed that you have a pretty cool quote on your Twitter feed there. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how do you mute the naysayers? I think you admitted that you've had sort of an up and down career in college. Your naysayers on social media can be pretty loud. So how do you mute that out? How do you keep that away from you and sort of focus on what you need to do to get better?
I try not to pay attention to that, you know, because I never let anything get me down. And I have a good support system, so they might just push me to be a greater player on and off the field, and just my teammates. I had excellent teammates, and we always just push each other just to be greater and become a better team.
What does mom tell you about your game? Is she does she go to every game? Is she rooting you on, or is she like my wife, you know, putting her hands over her eyes every time my son takes the football field?
Yes, my mom's definitely at every game, and I feel like she's my biggest critique. You know, because she watches me every play. So after the game, I already know if I messed up, I will have to hear about it from her. And I just try my hardest just to impress her each game.
I'm sure you don't have to try that hard with mom. Or do you?
I feel like I do. Like I said, she's like another coach out there. If I miss a tackle, she'll be on me. If I miss an interception, she'll be on me. But she always supports me, too. Even when I'm doing good, she tells me when I'm doing good. But I know as soon as I do bad, I'm going to hear that too.
It's the best part about moms is they're there to sort of keep your head straight, but at the same time, you know, make sure the head falls on a nice soft pillow.
Definitely.
Talk to me a little bit about your buddies, Tyler Boyd and Titus Howard, that you followed to Pitt. You know, Tyler now playing in the NFL. What has he done to help you prepare for your next step?
Oh, he kind of just prepared me, for the process. You know, he just said, trust the process, basically. And he said, just be patient and work hard and everything will fall into place. And my boy Titus, he's actually trying to enter the draft, too, this year. So we're just pushing each other just to become better. Even though we're not working together, I'll talk to him, every day. Just ask him how did everything go, what are your times looking like. And I'll tell him what my times are looking like, and we'll just compare the two.
So coming up a little bit later, I'm going to be talking to Jordan Bowman, and you're working out with him, are you? Aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. So give me a little inside trash. You know, who's the better safety, you or Jordan?
You know, just because who I am, I would say that I am. But I believe if you ask him the same question, he would say he was. You know, that's just the type of guys we are.
What's something that I can ask him that only you are going to know about?
Ask him if he had a if he could choose any superpower, what would it be?
Okay. Now I'm going to have to turn it back on you. I need to know what your superpower would be.
I would definitely have to go with this. If I could choose a superpower, I would choose probably to be Superman, because, you know, he can fly around and he could choose. He has like two different personalities, so he could be like a normal person and then become a superhero. So I think that's pretty cool.
So Jordan, coming from a D2 school and you're at a D1 school, what are some of the things that you've helped Jordan with as he's gone through this journey?
You know, just techniques that I learned coming from a big school. You know, sometimes at those smaller schools, they don't learn as much technique. So I just try to help him with like better defensive back drills. You know, we just push each other, just to work hard.
You think Jordan's got a future?
Yeah, definitely. I can see just his drive and his passion. And we're working out, doing drills. Definitely has a future.
What if you both end up on the same team?
I like that. I like that very much.
Nice.
We're just going to push each other.
All right. That sounds good. Listen, Tarish, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Glad to have had this opportunity to meet. We definitely want to keep in touch. We want to follow you all through this journey and sort of where you're going to be on draft day. Where will you be on draft day? You're going to be at home?
Yeah, I'm probably going to be at home.
Awesome. I mean, we want to help. We want to follow along, and we're going to be rooting for you. We want to see you out there on a football field and lighting people up.
Okay, thank you.
All right, before I start the interview with Jordan Bowman, there is a guy here who is a Pitt fan, and that is Greg. So, Greg, what are your thoughts of Tarish Webb? And remember, his mom is now a fan of ours on our Facebook page.
I mean, Tarish Webb, I think he has a real upside for the NFL. If I remember correctly, I think he was part of a great recruiting class at Pitt that was like Harold, the freshman 15 or whatnot. And had a lot of guys, including his high school teammate, Tyler Boyd. They played on the same high school team together, and he was really a top recruit for Pitt, because it was like they got him and another Tyler Boyd and another player from Pitt, and they were kind of the four-time state champions. They had never lost a game in high school type of line. And he did well at certain parts. He kind of converted from wide receiver to corner, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, I just think he might be one of these guys that's going to be one of these late draft picks that ends up sticking in the league. So I'm pretty excited to follow him. And, you know, he has a future Hall of Famer since he went to Pitt and was born in Pennsylvania.
Well, here's another guy who's from the Pennsylvania area. He played for a D2 school. Let's talk with Jordan Bowman. All right, another safety now joining us here on the podcast. He played at the California University of Pennsylvania. It's a D2 school, but that doesn't mean he's not a number one prospect, and I am talking to Jordan Bowman. Hey, Jordan, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing quite all right. You're out there getting ready for your pro day. When is your pro day?
Yeah, so right now I have CalU Pro Day on March 30th. I'm counting down the days. I'm real excited to get out there and show my stuff. And I'm currently working on trying to get another Pro Day, you know, an earlier one, just to give myself another chance to get in front of some scouts and whatnot.
Nice. What are you hoping to show the scouts when you're out there on your Pro Day?
I'm hoping to show them that I have the speed and, you know, all the drill work and all the necessary attributes that they look for in a safety prospect, you know, that'll help me excel at the next level on defense and special teams, you know, just show my full skill set.
How fast are you? What's your clock?
So I'm in a 4.4 to 4.5 range. The consistency thing is all about the start, but I have pretty good speed when I get a good start and pick up. So I'm hoping to run a 4.4 in my pro day.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching your tape, and you certainly look extremely fast in your highlight reel, for sure. Anyone that hasn't seen it, go ahead and do yourself a favor and go search Jordan Bowman highlights. They're pretty sweet, my friend. You play a tough game at safety. You don't have a problem sticking your nose in on that football.
Oh, yeah, no problem with that at all. if I got to come downhill, I've got to come downhill. You know, whatever my team needs me to do, help us win games, you know, I'm going to do it. But, yeah, I do like coming downhill.
I saw that you had a couple of returns on your stats. Is that something that you wanted to do, or was that just sort of the nature of the play that occurred?
You mean like kickoff returns or punt returns or like touchdowns just like on defense?
Well, I saw your touchdowns on defense. Those were sweet. I meant kickoff and punt returns.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have very good ball skills. So the coaches, you know, they just trust me back there handling the rock. You know, it's not something that I really love doing, but if the team needs me to go back there and they need a sure-handed guy, I'm more than willing to do it.
You're more willing to be the guy that's sent down as a gunner and go down and blow that guy up, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love it. You know, when I was speaking to Tarish earlier, he said that he taught you everything you know.
Oh, did he?
He didn't. But I was hoping to get a good response from you.
Oh yeah, you know, Tarish definitely has some drills. You know, coming from Pitt, you know, that's just a bigger program with more coaches and different techniques than I do. So I definitely, you know, pick his brain and learn some things that, you know, they practice that maybe I don't. And you know, just I like training with him. You know, we both compete with each other, and I mean, we both have pretty good skill sets.
He did ask me to ask you what your superpower would be if you could pick a superpower.
I said if I could pick a superpower, it would be like to read minds, or if not read minds, you know, just be like a super genius. Because if you're a genius, then you know you can basically invent anything, like any other type of superpower, right?
That's not a bad idea. I like that. Being the super genius, you just invent the other superpowers that you don't have.
Exactly, like a Tony Stark. You know, he just made his own suit, and now he's a superhero.
I like where you're thinking with that. That's smart. I think only a safety would come up with something like that.
Hey, yeah, man. I definitely like to use my brain. You know, it's my biggest muscle, so it's what I like to use the most.
When you're watching tape, what are you watching for? What is it that gives you sort of an idea of what possibly might be coming, so that you can predict that next move?
So yeah, I like looking at, you know, opponent's favorite route combinations and then also QB tendencies. So there was one quarterback this year that they ran a lot of RPO, run pass option, and whenever he would wipe his hands on his towel prior to the snap, you know, you knew he had that option to throw it. But if he didn't, it was just an automatic run. So that's just a little tendency I picked up on. And also just route concept. So curl flat, if I'm playing quarters and I see that two go out, I can jump that curl right now and try and get a quick pick to the house or quick turnover, something like that.
Dude, remind me never to play poker with you. You picked up on a guy wiping his hands on his towel. That's amazing.
Yeah, man, you got to watch a lot of film to be great at the game. You know, football is way more mental than people give it credit for.
I'm looking at another interview that you did, and I want to hear what your game day ritual is, and then I want to ask you if peanut butter chip pancakes are what give you your superpower.
I do love peanut butter chip pancakes. I've actually been eating more so blueberry now, you know, to tell you the truth. But I definitely like the pancakes in the morning, and then taking a nice hot shower and then going on the field and listening to music, getting hyped up. But I don't think that gives me my superpowers. Nah.
So blueberry over the peanut butter, is that just a health choice, or?
Man, that's just, I was eating peanut butter pancakes probably twice a week, and then I guess after a while you just get tired of it. So I had to switch it up to blueberries at this point right now. Then I'll probably go back to chocolate and back to peanut butter, you know, keep switching it up.
Why not combine the two, peanut butter blueberry pancakes?
Ooh, I never thought about that. I don't know how that would taste.
I don't think it would be that bad, my friend. Have you ever had the peanut butter and jelly pancakes? Those are phenomenal.
I never have. I've never even heard of that.
I know that you got sort of a strict diet being a pro football player and all, but let me tell you, when I was not dieting to lose all the weight, I ate plenty of peanut butter and jelly pancakes to get myself kind of fat.
So is it just two pancakes and you make a peanut butter and jelly out of them? Use them as the buns?
Well, usually you got a stack of like three or four pancakes, and then you sort of layer it with the peanut butter and the jelly in between. And then some chefs will actually cook the peanut butter maybe with peanut butter chips even, into the pancakes so that it's just the jelly as the layer. They're pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that does sound pretty good. I can't lie.
Hey, are you on social media at all?
I am on Instagram, but I do not have a Twitter. On Instagram, my name's JordanBowman11. No underscores or anything. So, yeah, check me out there.
It's probably smart that you don't have a Twitter. Did you do that on purpose, knowing that it would get you in trouble maybe at one point?
Twitter can get you in trouble, but I just don't really like wasting my time like scrolling through things like that. There's just way better things I could be doing other than just scrolling and looking at other people's lives, I feel like.
Jordan, if the Patriots don't end up picking you on my team, I'm going to have a real tough time because you're exactly the kind of guy that I want to see on my favorite team. You're going to end up on somebody else's team, and then I'm going to have a real tough time on game days when you're up against the Patriots.
Hey, I'm more than willing to play for any team, but if I'm with the Patriots, then, man, I hope I can bring some rings back to New England.
Yeah, there you go. It's all about the rings, my friend. Hey, exactly. It's a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking with you. We definitely want to stay in touch as you go through your journey because, you know, one of the things as fans, I don't think they understand exactly just how much work you guys are putting in right now. How much training are you doing on a daily basis?
Man, I'm doing a lot of training. So I go down to Pittsburgh. I train with, like I said, Blaze Performance. That's a 2-hour process. We do an hour of just combine drills every day, and then we do an hour of lifting. And then I come back to Cal. I might have a couple little things to do, like schoolwork. And then I hit the gym again. And in between that, you know, I hit the field just to stay crisp on all my drills and keep my hands right and all the football-related things that's not combine-related. So, I mean, there's definitely hours a day, hours.
Nice. Well, Jordan.
As well as dieting, yeah.
Best of luck to you. Where are you going to be on draft day, draft weekend?
Be home with my mom, you know, with my family, nothing too big, just hoping to get that call, man, and, you know, make a lifelong dream come true.
Well, listen, Jordan, best of luck to you. I think you're definitely going to get a call at some point for sure on draft weekend. And I look forward to seeing you, you know, blowing some people up, especially on the punt and kick return team. You know, stay in touch. We want to follow you through this journey and really hope the best for you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I really do like Jordan Bowman. I really do like the highlights that I saw online. And as I mentioned during the interview, do yourself a favor and go watch Jordan Bowman's highlights. Just Google him, Jordan Bowman highlights. You'll be able to find him. I think the kid plays pretty quick. He definitely has a nose for the football and has no problem sticking his nose in there when necessary. So I do think the kid's got some talent. I think obviously the difficulty is that playing at a D2 school, how will that talent translate against more elite talent? That's going to be the question. But the kid's got his head straight. He mentioned that he's willing to play special teams, and that's sort of what he's preparing himself, looking to maybe make himself a name on special teams, being a gunner. And you know, I think the kid's definitely got a shot, for sure. Do you know anything about that school there, Greg?
It's just southeast of Pittsburgh, Cal U, and it's a it's a really good program. They've actually turned out quite a few pro prospects, including Goodwin, who played corner for the Falcons this past year, and a couple other guys. So he probably got – I mean, he got good coaching there, better than your normal D2 school. So I would not be surprised if he stuck also. I mean, that's just a – I mean, it's a Division II school, granted, but it is a really good program down there. They have really good coaches.
You know, I stuck a pin in it, and for fear of going even longer than we already have gone, did want to come back to that idea about Mixon and perhaps what our team's going to do. The kid clearly has a lot of talent. The kid clearly made a huge mistake. And I don't even know if you can call it a mistake as much as it's just an egregious action a couple of years ago. You know, how do teams move forward now? Kevin, you mentioned that, you know, perhaps the Giants are a team that would go and pick him up. But how do they handle sort of the reaction they would get from a fan base that may not like his off-field issues?
I think the Giants, you're right, it would be a great spot for him. But, I just don't think it's going to happen. I sort of just said that the Giants, because I was sort of picturing worst-case scenario in my mind, what the Cowboys are going to have to face next year. But I mean, the backlash in New York would be too much. And the Giants, they like to employ good Irish Catholic Boston College kids anyway. So Joe Mixon is not usually their type. So I don't think I have to be too concerned about it. But I am a little concerned because the Giants do need running back help. I think a couple teams that would be a great fit for Joe Mixon are the Detroit Lions. Stafford's never really had a feature running back. He's always had like gimmick running backs, Theo Riddick. Joy Bell is not starting caliber, and he's been a co-starter the last 2-3 years over there. So I think the Lions offense would get a major boost with Mixon. And I think the Colts, if Andrew Luck and Joe Mixon could pair up, I think that would make for an amazing offense. And Frank Gore is still there, so he could sort of ride under Gore's tutelage for a year, and I think that would be a really good spot for Mixon. But I just don't know how many teams are willing to take the risk on Mixon, because as you said, it was an egregious act, something that many people can't and won't forgive for good reason. So until I know which teams are interested in him, and I think the Lions actually met with him the other day during his pro day, but I think in reality there will be 6 to 8 teams that have him on their draft board. He's definitely going to get drafted. Bill Polian was saying he may even squeeze into round 2 just because his pro day was amazing. But I think he's still going to be a round 3 player. And I think whoever gets him is going to like what they get if he can stay out of trouble, just like what the Chiefs got with Tyreek Hill this year.
Rob, your team doesn't need a running back, but, you know, is there another team that you could see Joe Mixon fall to?
Oh, absolutely. I have been kind of following it. And I think that, you know, everyone – obviously with Ray Rice, you know, there was video of it, and that was kind of the difference between him and a lot of other players and why he hasn't really been in the league. I do think that because this is, I believe when this happened, he was 18 years old. There's going to be, even though there is video, there's going to be a little bit of leeway of, I don't want to say forgiveness, because you should never forget something so stupid. But, you know, they're going to, at least, give him an opportunity. The team I said, was already mentioned. I think Indianapolis is the perfect fit. And I could really see it happening in the second round, because one, he can get behind a veteran and maybe not end up the starter right away. But I do think that his talent, I think he's a first round talent. If you watch, I don't sit there and watch tons of college tape by any means, but you know, if you're ever bored, go watch what he did against Texas Tech. The kid is a beast. And I think that, someone's going to give him an opportunity because he is so talented. I think Indy would be a good spot. It's a little bit of a smaller, media area, which is good. I think it would be tough for him in New York or any of the big markets, just given – transpired a couple years ago. I think it would be a real tough deal for him. I think the best thing for him would be to get drafted by, a smaller market. I think Indianapolis fits it to a T. The current GM in Indy, I think his name is Chris Ballard. He was the assistant general manager, I believe that was his title, in Kansas City last year when they drafted Tyreek Hill, who, quite frankly, did way worse than what he did. It just wasn't caught on video. So that, you know, is, I think that a team like Indy would give him an opportunity just based on who the GM is, you know, quite frankly, who the owner is and his troubled past and the fact that it's a smaller market. And I think it fit in real well there.
By the way, a couple of veterans that were released just this week, actually just yesterday and today, Kendrick Lewis, Sharice Wright from Baltimore, but also Elvis Dumervil was cut from Baltimore. I think Dumervil will get some interest from a team here very shortly. Another defensive back released in San Francisco, Antoine Bethea. I think he still has a little something to offer to a couple of teams. Brandon Flowers was released by the LA Chargers of San Diego, along with DJ Fluker and Steve Johnson. Does Steve Johnson have anything left, Greg? You think he can contribute anywhere?
I don't even know who Steve Johnson is, so
no. Oh, good point.
You should. He's the guy who dropped the touchdown pass when the Bills played the Steelers in overtime and blamed it on God.
Yeah, that was great. I love that. Stevie Johnson? Yeah, I love him.
Yeah. That's him, yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, going back to Joe Mixon. All the other stuff, just fit-wise, I like the Tampa Bay form. I think if they got him, I mean, they've used second round picks worse just last year. So.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, I think, for us.
Can I just say one more thing? Breaking news for me and Neil. The Washington Redskins look like they're going to steal defensive tackle from the Cowboys, Terrell McClain, who had a pretty good season. So, breaking news for you there, Neil. He's a pretty good player. You should be happy to have him.
By the way, the other story that I did not touch on that is also related to Neil and the Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins has recently appealed to Dan Snyder asking for a trade. I believe Kirk Cousins was told, get out of my office.
Yeah, Dan Snyder's known for being level-headed. So that probably went well.
I'm sure it did. And I'm sure that's not the exact words that were used. So, yeah. Oh, Quinton Demps expected to sign in Chicago as other added news here. So news is going to be trickling in all through the day. So clearly, as soon as you listen to this, there's going to be a big name free agent that we did not talk about. That's why you have to subscribe to our show and listen to it on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, AHA Radio, so that you can listen to the Sunday show where they will touch on all of the big name free agents that we did not talk about in this particular podcast. And we'll be back again next Thursday to talk about even more free agents that ended up signing, because there's going to be a ton of them and we're here for you. And of course, we want to hear you and your reactions. What are you thinking about your favorite team? Hey, if you aren't hearing from the super fan of your favorite team, send us an application. We will gladly take you on as the newest super fan to join our group. There are a couple of legitimate openings, including the Detroit opening. Let's see here. I believe Tampa is also a team that has a legit opening right now. So if you're a fan of either of those teams, send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. We want you to be a part of our team. You know, it is free agency. Greg, you're not getting $9 million a year, no matter how much you beg.
But that's what I want. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's what you get. So,
well, apparently we're going to have to trade you. I don't know. I don't know to what podcast that will take you. I don't know if we'll get any value for you. It just might be a straight Tony Romo cut for you, unfortunately.
I think his insight on Cal U deserves $9 million, quite frankly.
I don't know. I can certainly, you know, I think I can get the same value at a cheaper price. I don't know.
It's a fluid negotiation. That's all I'm saying.
All right. On that note, we have definitely taken up enough of your time. I thank you for listening to the entire show, as you clearly have if you've gotten to this point. And I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.